Bhagavatayat Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kratitam Puranam Vina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusantatami Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadvaishinim. Okay, we're on verse 17 of chapter 17.
17.
Yep. Shraddhaya paraya tattam tapas tat trividhan narayihi Apalakankshabhiryuktaihi Satvikam parichakshate. Now, having in the previous verses gone through Shraddhaya, Sandhi, Shraddhaya, Paraya, Taptam, Tapaha, Tat Trividham Naraihi Apala Akankshibihi Yuktaihi Satvikam Parichakshate. So, if you remember in the previous verses, we were looking at three types of tapas. The first was shariram tapaha, tapas that is physical, from the standpoint of the physical body. Then vachika, the vak, the speech, tapas in reference to the speech. And then manasa tapaha, tapas in reference to the mind. So these were trividam tapaha, the threefold type of tapas, depending upon whether it's the physical body, the speech, or the mind. Now, having gone through those three types of tapas called trividam, vidha means types, tri means three, the trividha. Okay, so there's these three types of tapas, these three categories of tapas. Now, accepting those, we're going to look at sattvika, tapas which is sattvic, or rajasic, or tamas. Okay, so he says this one is for the sattvika tapas. So he says, Shraddhaya paraya. These are both instrumentals. It means with complete shraddha. Para means shraddha is absolute. Right? The shraddha is absolute. It's complete. Shraddhaya paraya. Taptam tapaha. The tapas, tapaha, tapas, neuter nominative singular. Tapas taptam, which is done. Tapas, which is done in terms of tapas. So tapas, so we'd say, in English we'd say, the tapas which is done or which is performed, right, with complete shraddha, then tat trividam, that threefold tapas, trividam, that threefold tapas, which is performed with complete shraddha, naraihi, by people, by the, let's see if he gets anything. By those who are, he says, Naraihi Anushtatrabhi, by those who are performing it, by those who are practicing it. Mm-hmm. Nara just means a man, a person.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Okay, but who are those people? Mm-hmm. So by the human beings, by the people, by the men, but men you have to include, it's just like in Old English where we have to say a man includes both men and women. So this threefold tapas, which is done with complete shraddha by those who are performing it, naraihi, and apala akankshabihi, without any desire for the fruit, the result, I'll explain this in a minute. Pala means result. It means fruit, like the fruit on a tree, but it's also used for result, like karma pala, the result of your karma. So here, a pala, the a negates. So a pala akanksha means expectancy. Okay. So without any, by those, naraihi, now again, so that's instrumental pearl, naraihi, by those people who are a pala akanksha bihi, which have no expectancy, are not doing it with a desire for the result, and who are yuktaihi, who are committed, who are together people. Samahitaha means, as a synonym that he gives in the commentary, mean they're together, well-knit people who are committed. So yuktaihi. So such tapas, which is performed with complete shraddha, without a desire for the result, that is considered by parichakshate, that is considered, means by the wise people, by those people who know, that is considered to be sattvika, the sattvika taptam, the sattvika, okay? So, here, not doing it with any concern for the result of the action. It's like this, for karma, say for rituals that are done, or for karmas or austerities that are done, you can, as we'll see when we go to the rajas and the tamas, these austerities, religious disciplines, can be done in order to accomplish something. Like, I'm doing these religious austerities so that I can go to Swargaloka. Or I'm doing the austerities so that I can, so Bhagavan will bless me with more artha. Artha means security. In terms of the four purusharthas, there's artha, security, you know, kama, just the fulfillment of desires. Even dharma means punya. May I accrue more punya so that I get a better next birth. So that can be the reason for the performance of tapas, whether it be sharirika tapas, the body, or vachika, through the use of my speech, or manasa. This can be the pala that I'm looking for. If I'm not looking for any such pala, I'm not looking for any pala, that what I'm actually looking for is only antakarana shuddhi. Because now as a mumukshu, my desire is for liberation, not for something that is existing within samsara. Right? So if I'm looking for a pala that exists within duality, right, then that's going to be tamasa or rajasic. It's sattva when I'm not doing it for the sake of a pala. I'm doing it for antakarna shuddhi, or for the gain of moksha, or even ishwararpana buddhi, even if I'm doing it ishwararpana buddhi, if I'm doing it as devotion for Ishwara, to Ishwara, I can be doing this devotion to Ishwara, this tapas, so that I can get something. But what if I'm doing it for Ishwara just because of my devotion to Ishwara? Or my devotion to dharma, or my devotion to antakarna shuddhi, to moksha, then it has nothing to do with the subject-object gain in this world of samsara. So that's considered sattvika. Okay. The next one is rajasam. Satkaram anupujaratam. Satkaram anupujaratam. Just a minute. I got this wrong. I knew something was wrong there. Satkara manapujaratam. Satkara manapujaratam. Depo dampena chayvayat. Depo dampena chayvayat. Kriyate tad ihaproktam. Kriyate tad ihaproktam. Rajasam chalam adhruvam. Rajasam chalam adhruvam. Satkara mana puja artam. Tapaha dambena cha eva yat. Cha and eva is chaiva. Cha eva yat. Kriyate tat iha. Tat iha. Proktam rajasam chalam adhruvam. Adhruvam. Okay? So here, Rajasatapas. So he says, the word Satkara means Satkara Manapuja Artam. Artam means for the sake of. So this tapas is being done for the sake of Satkara. Being a good person. What they mean here is, may people view me as a Satkara. Somebody who does good. Somebody who is a good person. Mana, I do it for the sake of people thinking of me as a good person. I do it, mana, in order to gain respect. I do it for puja, for the sake of puja, in order that I might be worshipped. Like the sannyasis are worshipped, the sadhus are worshipped, the mahatmas are worshipped. Often they have pujas done done to them, like Guru Purnima, for instance. So they receive so many pranams, they'll be garlanded. So many things are being given to the mahatmas and people who are considered to be highly religious. They're honored in many, very many ways. So say I'm doing tapas so that I can be viewed as one of these satkaras, as one of these people, extraordinary people, who's really a good person. And so I want people to view me in that way, and I want them to, I have mana, means I want them to respect me. And puja, I want them to worship me, to do puja to me in various ways. Swamiji's commentary on this is so funny. He says, as he's going through this, he says, people actually are like this. There are some people like this. I've met them. I've met them myself. So satkara mana puja artam tapaha dambena damba in the amani tuam adambi tuam ahimsak shanti arjo. Remember in chapter 13 where we have this whole list, the second one is amani tuam is adambi tuam. So damba is the problem. So damba, the way that damba is usually just talked about is if I don't have certain qualities or certain wealth or fame or power or knowledge or whatever, I really don't have them, but I kind of wish that I did, and so I pretend that I do. I pretend to have them. I'm ostentatious. Even name dropping is like that type of thing. I'm doing that so that other people will think highly of me, right? Or I pretend like I have more, I know more than I do, so people will respect me. Or I pretend like I have more money than I have, so people will think I'm important. That type of things. That's damba. So here, a person who does this tapas out of this damba, wanting to make a show, so that the people will think that you're better than what you are, because actually you're only doing it not for the sake of the tapas, but for the sake of what people will think about you. Right? And so tapas by such a person who's doing it for the sake of people thinking I'm a really good person, or thinking that they see me doing that, they'll respect me, or they see me doing that, they'll honor me, they'll worship me, and so forth. The tapaha kriyate, tapas kriyate, which is done, right, for these reasons, that tapas here, iha means here, proktam is said to be rajasam, rajasic tapas. And such tapas is chalam. It's very shaky, right? It's shaky and it doesn't last. It's adruvam. There's nothing steady about it because it's not really tapas. Mm-hmm. It's a show of tapas, but the person there isn't really doing tapas. They're doing something. They're not doing tapas for the sake of the tapas, for antakarna shuddhi. They're doing it in order to receive some sort of accolades from doing it. And so that tapas is not going to bring about very much in terms of antakarna shuddhi or anything else for that matter. If it brings about anything, it's going to be the drishta pala of some people who are taking you seriously, right, are giving you some momentary respect and adulation and worshiping you, but the problem is because you're not really doing the tapas for the sake of the tapas or antikarna shuddhi, you probably can't keep it up for very long because it's not really tapas for the sake of tapas or antikarna shuddhi that is being done. It's being done in order, it's like a facade. It's like a lie. I'm doing it so that I can get this from you, this type of treatment from you, this type of respect from you. And so it's really not about the tapas at all. Right? And so therefore it's chalam, it's going to be very, very unsteady, right? And adruvam, it's not going to last very long. Dhruva, chala means is something that is waving around and moving. Dhruvam means something that is solid and steady and placed and holds itself in one place. That's dhruva. It's firm. Adruva means it's not firm at all. And it's not firm, and it's also moving within itself.
Like unshaky ground or something.
Yes, adruva is unshaky ground, and chala is within itself. It's fluctuating all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's not on firm ground. Okay. So that's the rajasa. So let's look at the tamas. Okay. Mudagrahenatmanoyata pidaya kriyate tapaha parasyotsadhanartamva tat tamasam udahratam mudha grahena atmanaha yet pidaya kriyate tapaha parasya utsadana artam. Do you see that? Parasya utsadana artam va tat tamasam udahratam. So this is the tamasam tapaha, the tamasic tapas. He says, tapaha kriyate, that yet tapaha kriyate, that tapas which is done, kriyate means is done, so the tapa, yet tapaha, the tapas which is done, pidaya, by means of, instrumental singular, by means of afflicting or harming of oneself, afflicting oneself, muda grahena, because of deluded thinking, muda graha, deluded understanding, deluded perception, muda is deluded, graha is how you perceive things, how you understand things is graha. So muda grahena, because of deluded thinking or understanding, is tapas which is done by hurting oneself, bringing harm to oneself. Or padasya utsadhanartam va. Va means or. For the sake of utsadhana, destroying another person, the destruction of another.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that. So that udahratam, that is called tamasam. That is known as tamasam. Okay. So the problem here is the understanding of tapas for the first one, atmanaha pidaya, because of deluded understanding about tapas itself. Say your belief is that if I stand on one leg and have my arm sticking out for 3 years, you know, or 10 years, people do that till they're completely naked, standing on one leg with their arms uplifted or straight out, until their arms turn to bark, and their skin turns into bark, right? And the legs and arms can no longer move because they've held them. This is a certain type of tapas. These people are actually there up in the Himalayas, you know, past Rishikesh. Those tapas, they're called tapaswins. They do this thinking you know, for whatever reason, Swamiji jokes and says, nobody's going to go into a cave and do that. They do they like to do that out in public so other people can see them. But thinking that what kind of result is this going to give them? What's the pulla, really? What do they think the pulla, what is the gain? Other than other people watching them and gaining some sort of discipline, being able to hold a pose for so long that your body turns into wood, to bark. So you can get that kind of discipline, but what else are you going to get from it? You know? So you receive a discipline, the ability to have a discipline. But what else? So Swamiji says there's not much. There's not much that you gain from this type of thing. So there's a whole delusion around what you gain for tapas. On the other hand, for this type of tapas, when it's done for the self, if you're inflicting something upon yourself, thinking that you're going to gain something from that. But there's another type of tapas where there are certain prayers and rituals and that are done in order to, it's kind of black magic. There's a whole black magic in India also, where there's mantras and things like that that can be done for the harm or destruction of another.
Curses.
So, like curses, you know. So Ravana and some of the asuras would do these type, they were great tapasvis, not inflicting pain on themselves. They're doing rituals and mantras and great tapas in order to destroy, and with their aim, their intent to destroy another person, somebody else. And so that's also that type of black magic is considered to be tamas and highly diluted. But it's also there. It's there in those chants are there. You know, those rituals are there. So but it's kind of the black arts exist there in India. Swamiji made a comment. He said this type of tamasa tapas is not really practiced anymore. People don't really know how to do it. But he acknowledges that it's there. And if you read in the Ramayana, they talk about Ravana and others doing this type of tapas. And there's stories of these asuras doing this type of tapas to bring about the destruction of somebody else. You know? And so they make note of it here. So either by afflicting tamas where you're bringing harm to yourself, that's dudu muda graha. Mudagraha means there's a lack of viveka, there's a lack of understanding about the purpose of tapas. And when you're doing it for the harm of another person, like the asuras will do, that tapas is considered tamasin. So Swamiji points out in Shankara that here we're going through these three types of tapas, but there's only one of them that is real. Right? And that's the sattvika tapas. The other ones are telling you what not to do. Right? It's like we spent that whole chapter on the asura sampat, all of the qualities of the asuras, not so that you would practice those, but so that you would understand this way of approaching life is not going to bless you at all. You have to understand that. So now they're doing it in terms of tapas. Tapas can be done for many different reasons, you know. And so the Rajasa tapas is really done for your own pride and praise. The Tamasa tapas is really mudagraha, really deluded. It's either you're hurting yourself or you're doing it to hurt another, as though there's going to be something positive gained from that. And so there's a lot of dark thinking in all of that. So now he's done the three types, just very kind of briefly, even commentary is very brief on it, just so you can understand. He's done the three types of tapas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. The next one is danam. Danam means giving. And so that's interesting too. Let's do that, verse 20. Dātavyam iti yad dānam
Dātavyam iti yaddānam dīyate nupakārine dīyate nupakārine deshe kāle ca pātre ca deshe kāle ca pātre ca taddānam sattvikam smṛtam taddānam sattvikam smṛtam dātavyam iti yaddānam dīyate anupakārine deshe kāle ca pātre ca taddānam sattvikam smṛtam dātavyam iti. It is to be given. This is to be given. That's the thought. That's the thought in the person's mind. Yaddānam, that dānam which is given, the gift, the giving, dānam dīyate, that dānam dīyate which is given with the thought, it is to be given. Anupakārine, it is given to someone who is not an upakāri. An upakāri is someone who is helpful to you. Somebody who can really do something back, give something back to you. And so say, I give something to you thinking that you'll give to me. If I do this for you, then of course you'll reciprocate by doing this to me. That's an, giving this to me, that's an upakāri. That's an upakāri. So anupakāri means when I'm giving something because it is to be given, not because there's an expectancy that you will give something back to me. So I'm giving to somebody who's anupakāri, somebody who's not an upakāri. And I'm giving deshe in the right place, kale at the right time, and patre to the right person. Patre means a vessel, really, but a patre is a the person who is deserving of that gift. Where the person is deserving of the gift and will make use of the gift in an appropriate way. Swamiji spends a little time on this, which is interesting and very Indian. You know, it's dānam is considered very important, you know. It's what we call charity. Very, really important part of your dharma is to give. But that's why they spend a lot of time analyzing when do you give, you know. At what time do you give? And where do you give it? And to what type of person do you give if you're going to be practicing dānam? So it all becomes important. So say, if you say the pātra, the person that you're going to give to, what if the person is a thief? Or what if the person is somebody who has no sense with money? You know? Or what if the person is an alcoholic? What if the person is somebody who will take the money, spend it, and then just come back for more? Right? Right? Because they have no... They can't make use of it other than to spend it for the moment. Then a person like that, if you give them the money, they run and they spend it and buy this or buy that, then they have no more money, and then they come back again. Then you give them money, then they go spend it, come back again, come back again. At some point you say no, and then they hate you because you're not giving money. You're not giving them the money. And so there's nothing good to be gained from it. Nobody's benefiting from it at all. You're not helping the person. You're not helping their own inner structure, and you're not helping yourself either. And then this makes a comment. Swamiji's made this comment in other situations, and it's really... I don't know what to say about it, except that it's just so true. I don't know quite what words to use to say, but it's this, that the people, you can become angry at the people who have helped you. Right? But you don't become angry at the people who haven't helped you at all. So many people have never done one thing for you at all. But you don't become angry at them or reject them. You only become angry and reject the people who have done things for you. Because for whatever reason, they're not continuing to do things for you in the same way, or they're not giving you as much as they gave you yesterday, or they're not, they're not coming forward with as much as they came forward to help you the day before. And so then you become resentful and hateful toward these people, but not toward all of the people who never did anything at all. Never lifted a finger to help you in any way. So I think it's amazing. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's true. People who have never helped you at all, you don't care about them. But nobody thinks, people don't think about that. Anyway, it's very interesting. So, that Patre, the person, it should be somebody who can make use of the gift. That's another thing, that Kala, the Kala should be at the right time. Like if somebody needs something, you don't want to wait 3 weeks and give it after the period of need is passed. They need something, you should give when it is needed. Right? So that's Kala. Desha means in an appropriate place. Now, from a more maybe contextual to the Gita here, a lot of these dhanam is given in the form of rituals and things like that. And so they're given in auspicious places. Like there are many auspicious places in India, like where the two rivers can join, or where there's a temple, or some Kurukshetra, there's some sacred place, that you go there to give the dhanam, right? Because you're giving it in a sacred place, right? Or there are also sacred times in Jyotish. There are many times that are considered to be powerful or to be sacred times. So you want to give it in a sacred place, at a sacred time, to a person who is a patra, a good vessel to receive that, who can make use of it in an appropriate way, not in a way that's harmful to them or others. So this dhanam, there's a lot of kind of things to understand about it. But that's kind of in a traditional ritual way. You can also go to what we call the samanya dharma, the common dharma that is true in all areas, all places around the world. And that has to do with something as simple as if you're going to give a gift, if you're going to give to help somebody for some reason, you should give it when they need it. Not think, oh, I should help that person. You know, I should help that person, but then you don't. And then to the mind, oh, I should help that person, you know. And so, you know, a year later, you help the person, but the time has passed. So it should be timely. You should help a person when the person needs the help, you know. And it should be a person who can make use of that help. Make sense? So you can read what Swamiji says about it. It's nice. I've said most of what he said, but I like the way he says it. So deshe kale patre tadanam. So, the other important part is anupakarine. It means you don't have a motivation. You're not giving the dhanam. You're giving the dhanam so that I pat your back, you'll pat mine. That's not what we're talking about with dhanam. That's not dhanam. That's just vyavahara. That's empirical reality. That's how we network. That's how we get things done. I do things for you, you do things for me, we're networking, we're building community, and we're helping each other. You know, I do these favors for you, and you do these favors for me, that's how we get by. That's not what we're talking about with dhanam, for sattvika dhanam. Sattvika dhanam is, it's to be given, because my thought in my mind is, this is to be given now. This is what's happening in Ishwara. This is what has come to me. right? In my situation, this is to be given now. This is the right place, the right time, and the appropriate person. This needs to be given. So it's just simple like that. It's not so that I can get anything back from it. So that's sattvika dhanam. Okay. Yeah. Let's stop here because there's something I want to find out about this verse, but I'm a little vague on it. I'll check on it. I'll do it next week. Yeah. Let's take a moment. Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishah ko brahmanebhya shubhamasti nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parajanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam kshobha rahitah Brahmanasantu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amritam gamaya Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
It seems to me with this giving, it sort of reduces your I notion. It's like offering to Ishwara and
with the dhanam.
Yeah.
In fact, all of them are like that. If you're all of the rituals, everything, it's all for antikarna shuddhi. It's not about gaining something from the world. So that type of dhanam, it's just dharma. It's not at all about. It's giving because in the situation this giving is what's appropriate. That's why it's diyateyati. It is to be given. That's the thought. This is to be given, right? So it's not about you giving so that you can get something. It's that's what is appropriate in this situation, and so you give.
So the focus is not on the individual. The focus is on
dharma. There's also, we'll get into it a little later, how you make a person feel when you're giving, you know? Like, when you give, do you berate them for half an hour This is what Swamiji says. Do you berate them for half an hour? And his aunt goes, so here, take it. The person, when you're giving something, you should feel, you should both feel honored. You should feel honored to give it. And they should feel blessed to receive it. You know, not to be made to feel small. That becomes very tamasic, very rajasic. It's not really a gift, it's like a punishment in the form of a gift. You know, it's a gift given in anger, it's not a gift. Right, it's like...
Say you're like giving something, or you have a volunteer job or something, and some of the time it's very like, you're just doing it because it should be done.
Uh-huh.
Some of the time it's kind of like people sort of respect you for it and it feels kind of good. And you're maybe doing it a little bit for the wrong reasons. But
yeah.
It seems like better to do it than to not do it out of fear of doing it for the wrong reasons or something.
Right, you should just do it. But the thing, why all of these things are done is so that you can notice in yourself.
Yeah.
You know? That you can notice all of the different things that are coming up and you can neutralize those things.
Yeah.
You know? Because otherwise, that's why. Why otherwise bother to show all this rajas and tamas and all these different things that can happen in the mind? It's because we can become conscious. Yeah. Yeah.
If you notice someone who's doing like the rajasic tapas or something like that, what do you do about it? Just let it be?
Yeah.
It's better not to point it out to the person.
You know, the thing, remember that.
Well, it might be self-serving, but it also might serve the greater good, too.
Well, I think the most important there is the understanding that vak tapas. Consider one of the greatest tapas is the tapas of speech. And your speech should be satyam, it should be true. It should be hitam, beneficial, but it should also be priyam, pleasing, loving. So it depends. Like, if you're the person's teacher, then they accept you as you are their teacher because they see you as their teacher. Not because you see yourself as their teacher. They see you and accept you as their teacher. Then you have certain freedom there. Parents also, you know. But what is your role in the relationship that gives you the it's your dharma to point these things out? See what I mean?
I do, but there's, it seems like there's a dilemma because... There can be times when someone's doing something that's actually not helpful to a larger number of people, or maybe even harmful. And, you know, sometimes it might be good to speak up. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to do it just because of some internal pressure.
Yeah.
But it might also be the right thing to do.
It might
be. It might not be prehim. For the person who's doing this thing. I mean, even if it's as simple as someone, say, stealing something and you see them in the act, you know, do you say, hey, stop, thief? They're not stealing from you, they're stealing from someone else.
Yeah.
Do you let it go? I mean, or is there such a thing as preempt that is not really wise, it's foolish? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think of that that nice sentence that Shankara has in his commentary when we're talking about the satyam, hitam, and priyam, where this teacher says to his student something like, how does he say it? He said, try this, it will be much better for you, dear boy. Do this, try this, it'll be much better for you, dear boy. And it's in the context, something like that, it's saying like, you know, keep quiet and do your work. But the way he says it, you know, is very kind, but also very clear. And so I would say, you know, it's different. Like, say somebody starting a fire, or somebody's doing something that's dangerous, then you go into action, and you don't think about these type of things. Right? It's like when Swamiji hit the snake, killed the snake. There's something that's being called upon for you to do right now and take care of right now, and so you do it. But the vaktapas is in your ordinary parlance with people, in your ordinary relationships. You know, what is your position in that relationship? Or is there even a relationship there?
Might not be.
Yeah.
And then the key seems to me is the pressure behind the words. What? Why are you saying this?
Yeah, that's the key. Satyam hitam priyam. Do you need this? Does it need to be said? Or are you saying it because of your own pressure? You know? And if the pressure isn't there, then what's a way to say it that's palatable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're saying something that's like jabbing a knife into them, it's not that helpful. Anyway, you're only doing it because of pressure.
Yeah.
Your own pressure. You know? That's a good point. Say there's no pressure inside, then you can contribute to the situation in a way that's objective. And you learn how to be kind by practicing kindness. That doesn't mean, kindness doesn't mean loose, be loose. Just means, how do you say things?
How do you say no?
You can say no easily.
Yeah, but how can you can say no with pressure.
Yeah.
Or you can say no with objective understanding.
And without pressure.
And treating the other as yourself.
Yeah.
And with love and compassion, the same words won't sound as harsh.
Exactly. When you don't have pressure or anger inside, then the words don't come out with that edge. Yeah.
So that's practice, huh?
It's consciousness. And it's values, your values. Yeah, it's the sadhana.
Yeah. I think he's right, though. It's what was it called? Kaushalam.
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 Kaushalam. Skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You do it in your law practice, don't you?
Sometimes I'm overtly mean.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah.
But sometimes, yeah, so it depends on the situation.
Pressure free.
I have to act fast sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can't really think about that.
Do you ever watch television?
We don't have
it. Yeah. There's one show I like called I haven't seen it recently. Maybe it's off the air. It's called The Good Wife. Ever seen that?
Yeah, no. The Good Wife.
The Good Wife. Oh, you people don't watch TV.
I like the more violent shows.
Yeah.
Well, what are you trying to say with that show?
No, because it's law.
Yeah,
it's a law show.
Oh.
And it's well done. And I was just thinking how cutthroat it can be. They do it really did it very well. It's a good show.
You have to have very sharp hearing, right, to catch what people are saying.
Yeah.
Be able to use that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, in some ways, it's similar to like dissecting. What's that book we were reading?
Vedantasara?
Well, in Vedantasara, but also I think it came up in the Mandukya, also in the second Karaka, you know, dissecting the other schools' arguments.
Oh, yeah, Purvapaksha Siddhanta, yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm lost. What were you guys talking about?
What goes on in law, in the courtroom.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot, it's similar to Purvapaksha Siddhanta.
Yeah.
They say this, you say this, but also there's a lot of. In debate, and what's considered the type that is interesting and useful, there's not this backhanded, you know, trying to get the best of the other person by tricking. There's not trickery. There's honest and forthright discussion and trying to come to an understanding of something. And the way the law is often portrayed is that there's a lot of trickery.
Chess game.
Mm-hmm. Not that some. It depends.
Yeah. War. I'm just saying, I'm talking
about
the TV lawyer.
It's much more open. Uh-huh. And the judge is there to... You don't want to seem like you're being... If the judge thinks you're being sleazy, that's really bad.
Yeah.
You lose credibility. So you don't want to go there. And there are times when you don't reveal things to the other side when you don't have to. Why would you?
But you... Well, you would for the sake of truth.
Well... You don't... There's a difference between lying and saying something's going to undermine your position.
Yeah. There are... There's a lot of rules, though, to kind of control that.
Right. There's things you have to disclose and things you're not required to. If my client's going to testify or be in a deposition, I tell them, answer only what is asked. Don't offer information.
Right.
It's not going to help.
Yeah.
And it can be the other side's going to, what you say can and will be used against you. Mm. So...
Yeah, I don't think they're interested in truth. They're just interested in settlements.
What?
I don't think they're interested in truth in court, are they?
Yeah.
They're more interested in settling things.
They definitely want to move things along, but they don't want to... Well, who do you mean they?
I don't know what I'm talking... I'm not a lawyer. Forget about it. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's okay. Thank you.
There's a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. We're here to talk about that.
I know, that's what I meant too.
Why do you think there's so much emphasis done on this charity? Is it cultural or...
It is a big part of the culture. Giving's a big part of the culture. It's very, very important dharma. So,
it's noticeable, that sense. That
yeah. That's all part of the... It's very ingrained in the Indian heart also to giving. And so there's the way that you do give and to who you give and all of that is important.
The energy behind
it, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a couple of people that, you know, that I give charity to, but sometimes I go like, okay, that's enough now. You know, because now I'm giving it because it's expected of me. And it's a guilt thing and I'm not going to give out of that space. I don't care. Because that's not being dharmic to myself.
Ugh. We have to move on.
Yeah, we better move on.
We've got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. But is it
and we got to move out.
Yeah. That cultural sense, is it very noticeable to you that there's this givingness sense?
Mm-hmm. It is noticeable. Maybe because of the people I'm around in India. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's also so much in all of the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, all of the stories, the you know, the myths. There's some certain things are always highlighted, and so you just get a feel. You get a feel for that. And Swamiji also, for Swamiji, is often so talked about dhanam, not just here, but I mean for many, many years. The importance of giving.
Because it seems to me you can even. Maybe push it a little bit and see Swami, the teachers, they just keep giving, they keep going through the verses.
Yeah.
You know, without...
That's a whole different thing. That's sannyasa. That's the teaching. But dhanam is giving. But you're right, though, that giving. For the sannyasi, it's... You just give until... That's what you do, is you give. Mm. That's it.
I was when I went to Rishikesh, every day on the board there would be so-and-so is giving the lunch, so-and-so is giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dhanam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same in Anukati.
Yeah.
You can see.
It's just another way of
doing it. Two or three names.
Yeah.
Does that mean who's paying for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving for in honoring my son or in honoring my husband or something.
My mother's
like that.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, let's call it a night.